I mean, I need to talk about how iconic your bangs are.
Your bangs are iconic.
Your bangs are iconic, yeah. And they always just look perfect. What is the secret? What is the hair care?
Yeah, how much time are you spending on those bangs every day?
And who do you cut them yourself?
No. So I've discovered this beautiful salon in Paris a few years ago.
Okay.
And they proposed me this look because actually it's not just a salon where you go to have your hair cut or colored. It's a salon where they develop a look style for you. So I went there a few years back. The gentleman who cuts hair, he's like, okay, so you're a public person. The minute you enter the room, people need to recognize you instantly. I said,
I love that.
He's like, you have to have a very strong look. Bangs is your thing. I said, okay, well, I've never had.
But and you had never had them.
No. Mm. And I dived into this look. And since then, it's been, I think, 5 years that I have this hairdo. And
it's so good.
And you know what? Sometimes I put the hairband to move my hair up. And whenever I'm at an exhibition
without the bangs,
people are like, are you Katerina? Really? Where is your bangs? So
you're so well known
That's
for that
the move.
Now,
yes.
It's the part of the look now.
It's part
That's
of your look.
It's part of your
and
brand.
And it ends right at your like sparkling blue eyes. Blue?
Yeah. Green.
Greeny. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Touch of green, touch of brown. There's a bit of a mix
there's
in there.
There's everything in there. Mm-hmm. You lucky gal. I just had to ask about them because they are so much a part of your image, which I think is always so classy and polished and stylish for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I'm so glad that you're here because I have known about you forever and I've read your site forever and followed you, and the jewelry that you handle and that you work with is extraordinary, usually.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really like, I feel like you're the high end fine jewelry influencer. You are like, you do like the high end.
Yes.
There's Jem Kassab, who's incredible, sort of like hits the mid tiers. There are other really amazing jewelry influencers. I consider you sort of like the epitome of the high end fine jewelry influencer. Do you feel that that's your role, and do you feel comfortable in that role?
Oh, very much so. The reason why I focus on more high-end jewelry is because I see jewelry as a form of art. And I come from a family of artists. My mom restores paintings. My father restores antique furniture.
Oh,
so
wow.
This is my kind of
my
art.
My dad
which,
makes furniture.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm. So this is my art, which I've discovered at a very early age. I've loved jewelry as long as I remember. And I've always felt that this is a form of art that I want people to appreciate and enjoy and get to know better, because my background is retail. So not many people know, but many years ago, I used to be on the shop floor selling jewelry in London.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
okay.
In different boutiques in London.
Where'd you work?
I worked in Tiffany & Co. Mm-hmm, I worked at Asprey, at Bogosan. Mm-hmm, so different high-end jewelers.
Yeah.
And there I got to appreciate how high jewelry is really making people look into stones better, you know, get to understand it, ask different kind of questions than when they buy an engagement ring. And so I really wanted to talk to people about high jewelry because I see so many different techniques used in high jewelry. Mm-hmm. There's so many things to talk about there. Inspirations,
definitely.
You know, to build a high jewelry collection. Mm-hmm. It takes years sometimes to a designer to really finalize it and to come to a specific idea what I'm doing here with all this beautiful jewelry. So I've always gravitated towards high end. And of course, on my social media, on my website, I show also some accessible pieces. But for me, it was always about design. Mm-hmm. And this is, I feel, what make me different from other jewelry influencers, that my focus is mostly design and colored gems.
Interesting. So tell me, like, do you like ascribing that term to yourself? Do you like calling yourself an influencer?
Well, frankly, it's a term that people understand. So
I see. Yeah.
I prefer
the shorthand.
Yeah, but I think I'm not really trying to influence anyone. I'm trying to curate the best and to help people to build their taste based on what I'm showing. Mm-hmm. So that the expensive taste, right?
Yes.
The taste of for beautiful jewelry, which is high class, made with quality, with interesting, intricate details. But I would call myself more maybe a tastemaker or a curator of
curator.
The best of jewels out there. Also, I'm an editor, so of course I edit my own website.
Yes.
But my past is also editing other magazines, and the editorial side has always been there. And this is also what sets me apart from other ladies who also showcase jewelry on Instagram is that for me, it's not just about Instagram. It's also a big part of my work is editorial, which is the website and my online magazine.
When did you launch the website and online magazine? So how long have you been doing that?
10 years, guys.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Do you know what Karin Reutfeldt says? You should never do anything for longer than 10 years.
Oh, seriously?
Yeah, that's what she says.
Ignore that.
That's
ignore
her career that advice. She said 10 years. Pack it up. Move on. Look, do something else.
I'm addicted, guys. This is like...
She's not going anywhere.
No, I can't. Yeah. Like, yeah. I'm going to be...
Not.
Stick around.
I'm here to stay, yeah.
I'm always trying to quit everything. I'm trying to quit the show. I'm trying to quit
You're
my own business.
I'm
really like bad at quitting, but I keep trying to quit. I keep saying to JB all the every
I'm
time.
I'm done.
I don't want to do this anymore. It could be anything. I just don't want to do anything anymore. That's
maybe it's our Taurian thing. You know, we like to discover new things. We like to try things. Uh-huh. And the funniest thing I think about, because we're both Tauruses, right, is that we're equally super hardworking people and equally lazy. So
and nobody understands that. All I do most of the time is work. Mm-hmm. At the same time, all I want to do is absolutely nothing.
That's right? A Taurus thing?
Yeah. I guess,
my husband is exactly like that, and he's a Taurus. But all I do is work. He's so hardworking.
This is it.
And then he's the laziest person in the world.
I have like 3 jobs. I don't know why.
Right.
I don't know why I'm doing this right now.
Why are we here?
Why are we
here? Who am I? Yeah. Katarina, let me ask you. How, after 10 years, do you not burn out?
Or get bored?
Do you not feel like... Because jewelry companies and brands, especially some of the ones that you cover perennially... Mm-hmm. They don't move that quickly in their releases and their drops. How do you stay excited and feel sort of like fresh as somebody who's curating jewelry content in this industry?
Because it's tough sometimes to stay like
I have felt
intensely passionate
or
excited about something that you've done for so long, whatever it may be. And like she said, jewelry is like, listen, jewelry is not always the most thrilling thing in the world. That's the truth of it too.
That's not true.
Okay. That's fine.
They will disagree.
They can disagree. But yeah, how do you muster that?
Big thank you goes to new talent. There is new designers coming out every now and then. Mm-hmm. And some of them have actually followed me for so many years. And then eventually 2, 3, 5 years later, they message me and say, look, thanks to you, I'm doing this. Or
that's
thanks
amazing.
To you, I went to do a JA course. Or thanks to you, I started taking interest in gemstones and design. And look where I'm now. Mm-hmm. So this also what makes it for me very exciting and motivating to continue what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Because I understand that indirectly, I have this power of improving people's lives in a way, you know, and how rewarding is that, right?
Yeah.
To feel that I can make people dream, I can make people come to my channel, see all the beautiful jewelry, fill their heart with love and joy and make them smile. Because obviously, you know, when we live in turbulent times like nowadays,
you want to have that space.
Yeah,
you need joy.
Escapism.
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
Where
you come and you feel like everything is normal. I want to feast my eyes on some beauty and feel like everything is going to be all right. So I feel there's much more than just sharing beautiful jewelry with the world. It's making people dream and making them realize, you know, beauty. This is my favorite quote, okay? This is from Dostoevsky, from the Russian writer.
Mm-hmm.
Beauty will save the world.
Yeah.
And I'm such a believer in that. Mm-hmm. So
you're in it for beauty. Beauty is the thing. It's the motivator for you.
Yes. Beauty, talent. Yeah. And the most interesting part is to discover, this is the reason why I focus a lot on design, is to discover how a human mind works and how a designer can use the imagination in their own way and create something that hasn't existed before. So what do designers do? They create something, they merge something created by nature, which is gemstones and metals, but they do it in their own way. Each of them has their own touch. They put their heart and soul in it. And in the end, even if we talk about, I don't know, common thing is flowers. You go to see a flower of one designer, it will look completely different from another designer. Mm-hmm. Even if it's the same rose, for example, each of them will have their own interpretation. And that's what's interesting for me, to see how a person injects their heart and soul, their personality in what they create and what will come out of it. And also which audience it will appeal, because some people like flowers, they like more edgy type of flowers. Another person likes more romantic flowers and so on. Well, if you talk about flowers.
Yeah.
So
Yes, but how much, given how much you see and how long you've been at it at this point, how much new do you actually encounter? How often do you encounter something and think to yourself, this is legitimately new, I've not seen this before, this is in some way innovative?
Truly innovative. Yeah. Yeah.
Well, a few times a year would be fair to say.
I mean, that's more than I would think, honestly.
No, you know, I, as I said, because I'm addicted to jewelry, I see jewelry every day. I do different research on social, offline, at exhibitions. And of course, you know, I see a lot of jewelry to choose from. And genuinely, there is two or three designers per year which I discover which really have something of their own. And they're the ones who make my eye go big and say, oh my God, I'm so happy you're here, because you keep on bringing newness and beauty to this world in your own way, and thank you very much.
I have a reaction to that when I see somebody being truly innovative and just like sheer beauty, like wall of beauty coming at you. I do it unconsciously. I go, and that's what I do. And sometimes I will even be flipping through a magazine or, you know, like watching something on TV or whatever, and my husband will hear me go, it's a terrible sound. But it's like something weird that I do. I know. Do you? I know.
I'm laughing because I have to make a confession.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
You go, I go sometimes. I want to say a swear word.
You can curse.
Because the emotions are so strong. When you see something extraordinary, you just go, oh my God. Well, in a different way, right?
Yeah.
This is so gorgeous. Yeah. Like, and you feel the vibrations.
The vibrations. When it's really there, it comes out, like, I can't stop it.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing.
In all the three years we've been doing this fucking show, I've never seen somebody this enthusiastic.
I love
about
it.
About seeing like a new, truly, I
a
have
new
not.
Brooch.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly. Yeah, that's just like, I've not felt that level of like enthusiasm even from the designers that we talk to.
Right.
And that's extraordinary that you're able to sustain that.
I love the world felt, because it's so much about emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why I'm addicted to jewelry, because it gives me these vibrations, these emotions. Mm-hmm. It feeds me with so much joy. And I'm addicted to this feeling when I see a beautiful piece of jewelry and how I feel. You know, all the goosebumps you have and your eyes widen and you feel like a kid sometimes. Like, you know, when a kid goes to the toy store and goes,
I love you much. I love the way that she described that.
That's wild. So I would just do Molly instead or something. Maybe that.
She doesn't need to.
No, she doesn't need
she's
it.
She's high on jewelry.
I swear sometimes it does have that feeling that you just like feel high after seeing something so beautiful.
Yeah,
you can't help it.
Yeah.
So especially when I go to exhibitions, imagine the amount of beautiful, amazing, interesting, innovative and cool jewelry I see.
Totally.
That's why I function, when I go to exhibitions, I sleep maybe 5-6 hours a day, because you function on this energy of stones, of beauty, of wonderful people you meet, and you just can't sleep. Like, you're vibrating and you are...
Next
I have
time,
to tell you that.
Next time she's in New York, I'm taking you to a club and I'm going to hand you some K. And I want to see what happens.
Get me some good techno music, okay?
There
that's
and
all
then,
I
and
need.
The, that's it, okay.
And then hold like a Wallace Chan brooch in front of her face.
Oh, watch her go! Oh, I'll get Wallace Chan to dance with us.
Get Wallace Chan to dance with you. So I have to say that I believe you were in Vicenza this year, right?
Yes.
And I was as well.
Right.
And we never crossed paths because I saw you across the room 4 or 5 times.
Okay.
You were just like running from here to there.
Yeah.
You had a definite like business vibe where you were like, I'm going here, I'm going there. The rest of us were a little slower than you. I felt that you were outpacing us because like you had a real fire under you, like a real drive.
Listen
is that
to the
how
energy
you are?
Listen to this energy.
I mean,
and
that this is coming, it comes together now when I hear your energy and your love for it, that you were like, I'm gonna see everything.
But also let's talk business here, right? Because
we have business questions for you too. When you had initially started your I assume this is a proper company, all of that. When you had begun your business, did it begin as a passion project?
It's always been a passion project, and it still is a passion project first. And I'm so lucky that I managed to turn my passion into a profession. And frankly, it all went through trial and error, intuition, and sticking to my own vision. Because I think this is so, so important when we have a vision which doesn't match to anyone else's, not to give up. Because, you know, we were talking about burnout and how do I manage that.
Oh,
and, and honestly, I did have an instance of burnout 3 years down the line when I started writing about jewelry. And when I was looking for ways to make it a job, because obviously it's very much time consuming. I'm so happy people understand now. They understand what influencing really is. Well, I don't know, like, the word influencing, but okay, writing about jewelry filming all the content.
So much work.
Yeah, because 10 years back, no one could understand, like, you write about jewelry online, you have Instagram. What is Instagram? Why do people even want to see jewelry on Instagram?
Right.
And I remember when I would go to jewelry viewings, people were like, you write about jewelry online. Well, we don't really have any interest in what you do. So the only reason why I managed to get to jewelry shows or jewelry collection presentations is because I was an editor of a small magazine in London, and I was
so that gave you opened the door for you.
Exactly. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
Because no companies have understood it or believed it's a thing, or it's going to be something important in the future.
Yeah, you were a pioneer in that way for sure.
I was. And you know what? Thanks maybe to this Torian feature that we are very persistent and very, very stubborn.
Very stubborn.
All these obstacles that there were many on my way, but I'm like, I love it so much. I cannot stop doing this. Okay. I had to give up my full-time job to continue writing about jewelry because it was taking too much of my time. I have to be very strong in terms of personality and believe in what I was doing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because it was a long process to actually prove that I'm worth something. For 2 years.
You had to do a lot of convincing.
Kind of. Yeah. Or not even convincing about me, but convincing that writing about jewelry online or running social media is going to be important for many people in the future.
Interesting.
I have a bit of a feeling about how things are going to go. I like strategic thinking. You know, I do consulting now also for companies because I have this trait of mine. I manage to kind of
can
foresee
see
the
coming.
Future.
She's a psychic too.
She is.
Right.
Yes. That's cool.
Well, that's maybe it's the way my mind works. But yeah, I like strategizing my actions. And I felt that, you know what? People across the world love jewelry, but when they want to learn about it, where do they go? Like, where do they get to know the stones? Where do they get to see the jewelry? And I think the key reason why I was doing all this is because, first of all, from retail, I felt that women appreciate jewelry, but first of all, there is lack of knowledge. Or also there is a feeling that jewelry is so important. You can only enter the store if you really want to buy something or if you have the money.
Yes, yes, yes.
And I wanted to break this barrier of kind of fear of precious jewelry.
Right.
Yeah.
I want people to feel more comfortable with it.
Like
I want
more like it's a museum than a store. Go in and feel free to look at it.
Yes, exactly. And I wanted women to get to know it and feel more comfortable to have jewelry around them and also feel inspired to wear jewelry. Because the more you see, the more you desire, right? I felt like jewelry wasn't seen enough. There weren't enough publications featuring jewelry.
Yep.
How would people discover all the beauty that exists? And online, with the help of their phones, anyone can just go online, on Instagram, see a variety of designs, fall in love with something, treat themselves to a beautiful piece of jewelry, and that goes back to my mission. So everything I'm doing now started with mission. It wasn't like, oh, let me be just an influencer, you know, I'm going to post online and earn money. Or
you, from the get-go, you had a specific goal in mind when you started.
And you were an editor already.
Yes,
so it wasn't like, coming from nowhere and like, I just want to see myself in different scenarios with jewelry on my arm. It was like you wanted to talk about the actual jewelry and the design. Yeah.
So the mission was, and it still is, to make jewelry a little bit more approachable and inspire women to get to know jewelry, understand it, enjoy it, wear it whenever they please, without having the feeling that it's only for a special occasion or jewelry has to be an investment type of jewelry or a status
sits
symbol.
In a vault.
It's a lot about self-expression. It's a lot about enhancing your mood every day. It's a lot about making yourself feel special when you feel like it and not when there's an event to go to, you know? So,
So you are Russian born?
Yes.
And you live in Paris?
Now, yes. After 16 years in the UK, 4 years ago I moved to Paris, so now that's my base.
What prompted the move to Paris?
Oh, my husband was transferred for a job.
I see.
And you know, I'm a good Russian wife. I'm my darling, I'll go anywhere you want me to go, I'll be
You're
with
like,
you.
I guess I'll go to Paris if I must.
Oh, there's Place Vendôme there, you know, it's such a hard decision.
They really had to twist your arm to make that change. Yeah,
but you know what?
Can imagine.
It happened so fast, within 1 month we moved. And
wow.
that's the best
thing.
When you have to do things very fast without thinking too much, you make big things happen.
I agree with that very much so. I don't believe in overthinking or talking too long about anything. I've
Action.
Always been somebody who's like a doer.
Yes.
First and foremost, I wouldn't have the business that I been able to build for myself if I
you've
didn't
overthought
just,
it. If I overthought it. Because you can talk yourself out of anything.
You can talk yourself
out of
into,
the best ideas.
You
yeah.
can catastrophize. You can yes. do all of that at any given point. Yeah. I think it's always better to just leap.
And taking mm-hmm. risks.
Yeah. You know? You got to do that. Yeah.
Not to be scared of failure mm-hmm. because this is a part of a process. Yeah. And stick to your vision, as I said before. Like, stick to your vision and try to make it work.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
even if someone says, no, it's... You know, one thing which I faced in the beginning a lot is that people were telling me, oh, but you only show expensive jewelry. Like, who's going to buy it? Mm. But it was such a passion of mine to show jewelry as a form of art, to mm-hmm. dig into details, to find exquisite stones. And I never felt attracted enough to, like, everyday pieces or
yeah,
silver
yeah.
or fashion
daily
jewelry.
Gold, right.
Not that
yeah,
I don't
yeah.
like mm-hmm. it. Like, I think it's a beautiful also type of jewelry, but wasn't for me. Mm-hmm. That nowadays I actually benefit from this stubbornness of mine, and I've managed to build a community of people who actually appreciate the type of jewelry I show, mm-hmm. which
colorful,
is okay, colorful,
gorgeous,
and gorgeous but
yeah,
also
yeah.
expensive and high end.
Yes,
yes.
And
yeah.
Well, and you've built quite the community. You have like mm-hmm. what 400,000
yeah,
followers or something.
420,000.
She's like, oh, who's
it's
keeping
amazing.
Track?
Yeah,
oh,
no.
You know what? Coming back around just for a second.
Yeah.
Anna Wintour, I know, has said on several occasions like, you have to put your blinders on to some extent when you're an artist and when mm-hmm. you're creating something, or else you will get distracted by what mm. everyone else is doing to the left and right.
Yes.
I feel like you in particular have done such a great job of keeping your focus on exactly the kind of jewelry that inspires you and that you like. Mm. And therefore you become known for that type of jewelry. You're synonymous with that kind of jewelry.
Yeah.
And when you're looking for like the super high end, gorgeous Wallace Chan kind of thing, you know, you go to KatarinaPerez.com.
That's it.
And
yeah.
you have like sort yeah. of the authority there, like you own that little niche.
Mm-hmm. And you're I think
and I really respect that. I think that's amazing.
And she's
yeah.
you are the most prominent, I think, outside of that particular niche. I don't know any other sort of a quote-unquote influencer who's as well known and established in mm-hmm. the jewelry sphere, period.
Yeah,
but I know
great.
That if you're
yeah.
looking for something, you know, that is really in the high jewelry realm, going to Katarina is like the obvious
yes.
sort of thing that
but
comes to mind.
This is the beauty of jewelry influencing mm-hmm. is that there is not so many of us,
yep.
Just a handful, mm-hmm. and each girl has their own style
yes.
and their own vision.
Mm-hmm.
And this is why it's like such a neat, close circle of influencers who actually work side by side. And sometimes we do showcase the same jewelry, but in our own way.
Mm-hmm.
And we manage to build our own audience, as you rightfully mentioned, that
mm-hmm.
if you want to see high jewelry, more kind of artistic pieces, you come to...
Whose phone is that?
Is it me?
I think it's you.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Oh my God.
I always keep it on silent.
Fired.
Oh
fired.
Don't kill me.
Canned.
Oh my God.
That's
sorry.
It. It's a wrap. It's a wrap today.
No, no, no.
Everybody out.
Guys, I don't know how this happened. I always keep my phone on silent.
That's
so
wow. You're extraordinary and it doesn't matter at all.
No,
don't
it doesn't
let
matter.
It rattle
it doesn't
you.
Matter.
Just he's being so silly. Thoughts.
You were talking about how everybody shows things still in their very unique
there's
voice.
So
in
there
a unique
are very
way.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
And that's why people who follow us, they are welcome to follow everyone and still see
different
points
things.
Of view and different jewels.
Absolutely.
Who are the influencers that you like and that you admire? Who you admire?
Oh, you know, I just went silent
for
a
minute. I'm so
because,
sorry.
Okay,
because
no,
you
no,
want
to
also because you want to
yeah.
be fair.
No, no,
and you
not
wanna,
for,
yeah, yeah.
no. Because
no,
I
she's
to,
like, no, I
no,
hate
no.
them all. What are you
no,
talking
no.
about?
No, listen, it's not because of that. It's because I actually do not really follow many accounts or influencers simply.
I see.
Because
I, see.
I do not have time.
Right.
And also because I have such a personal vision of everything. I don't want it affected by anything else.
That's
you
that whole point.
So
yeah,
you didn't
exactly.
want to absorb
exactly.
whatever it
exactly,
is that they're
because
doing.
Because indirectly we can get influenced by others.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Something can stick to your mind and then subconsciously you start doing that.
Or yeah. an opinion sort of sticks to you.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
you try not to do things because you think, oh, it's similar to someone else. So I frankly here just to do my own thing,
mm-hmm.
to
mm-hmm.
channel my vision.
Yep.
And I love all jewelry influencers to bits because I really appreciate them kind of helping me on my mission to popularize jewelry.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
not
yes,
just
yes.
to inspire women to wear jewelry, but also to popularize jewelry. This is another thing which I forgot to tell you that initially the reason why I started is because I felt like we open a magazine, right?
Mm-hmm.
We see a lot about beauty, travel, fashion, where is jewelry? One page, 2 pages.
If and that.
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, where people are going to see this beautiful jewelry? How are they going to discover it? So my mission, along with all other influences, mm-hmm. to popularize the industry, to make it more recognized, desired, appreciated.
Yep.
Because it has so much potential and it's so much more than just bling.
You know? Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's why we launched Gem and Jewel too. Yeah.
There you
magazine.
Go. Yep. That's it. And you have uniquely also with Gem and Jewel, you're consumer facing, and that's even rarer,
even more
in
rare. Yeah.
The sort of jewelry sphere than, you know.
Agreed.
All of it is already rare as far as representation goes, but that's even a smaller niche as far as publications are concerned.
Thank you for saying that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you know what my Serbian Marxist dad always says, when we all do well, we all do well. And that's true. To Katarina's point, the more jewelry fans you make out of people, we as an industry,
there is in
we all
exactly.
kind of benefit
exactly.
from that.
The more
absolutely.
Brands come to you to be photographed.
Exactly.
And circle of life continues.
Yeah. How do you think I can?
Katarina, you're a mom too, right?
Yeah.
How many kids?
One.
One. Okay. Okay.
No, two. Hold on. My website and my
that
social
is hysterical.
Media is my first kid.
That is hysterical.
Okay. That was great.
No. So wait. But one actual child.
But the living child is one.
I thought you literally just
forgot
that you have
two
children.
Okay.
I was like, that is hysterical.
That was so great.
No. Also, poor kid. Yes. That poor kid.
No, luckiest kid ever. So this kid has lived in London.
Yes.
Paris. That's it.
And he's well-traveled because I try to bring him with me where I can. Uh-huh. And he's a big fan of jewelry and gemstones.
Oh, really?
He has a small collection of gems, which he likes to show everyone around him.
Oh,
and
how old is this kid?
He's eight.
Eight.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
That's cute. Uh-huh. That's very sweet.
That's so great.
Speaking sort of coming from the UK to Paris, and I know you come to New York and you're sort of well-traveled in general as far as for your work
many
and all of that. Many countries. I'm sure you go to Hong Kong and you do all of that. What are the differences in the high jewelry markets? If you're kind of comparing London to Paris to New York City, what are the kind of key distinguishing factors between those markets? Because I know growing up in Europe, for Paris, I can imagine what that looks like. It's probably a much more stuffy, buttoned up kind of atmosphere, no?
Look, seriously, different people wear jewelry very differently.
Mm-hmm.
We travel to Asia. There is a lot of design. They're very heavy on the design and tiny features of jewelry.
Interesting.
You know, it will be the most complicated flower. It will be the most complicated butterfly that you'll ever see. Mm-hmm. That will be in Asia. Mm-hmm. Coming to America, big, bold, and beautiful rocks. It's a lot about stone-led
like
jewelry.
Yes. Yeah.
And also unconventional cuts of gemstones also.
Mm-hmm.
When in Asia, they more gravitate towards more traditional, classical, timeless beauty and important gemstones.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We go to the Middle East, they love opaque stones, they love design, they love very much jewelry with... cut-out stones put together in different patterns. They love statement pieces because jewelry is a big part of culture and self-expression in the Middle East. We go to Italy, big chunky chains, gold jewelry, colorful gemstones. Yeah. You know, there's lots of sunshine there. They love color.
Mm-hmm.
Go to Russia, again, big, bold, and beautiful to showcase your
diamond,
wealth,
and
diamonds, of course. Actually, in America, you also love a lot of
diamonds.
Americans love diamonds.
But what I do see in Russia that there is more focus on design and there is more, let's say, new blood coming. New designers who like to experiment with their style, and they're not only doing something traditional, timeless, but they do jewelry for self-expression. And I'm glad to see that there is also this design aspect that which is growing strong in Russia.
That's great.
And then if you travel to UK, again, it's all about more classical, timeless jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
But UK is the hub of all sorts of countries. You know, people from everywhere flock there. And that's why there are so many different boutiques and designers who have representation in the UK. And very few local designers.
Mm-hmm.
But
very
that's well established. That's how
it
felt.
Is there just not a great kind of community of kind of independent designers there? Or
I think one of the reasons is because there are so many other designers who have their boutiques there and points of sale.
Yeah.
Or maybe some other reasons which I don't know of. But frankly, I feel like if we talk about the country which produces the most innovative, interesting, cool designers, I'd say the US.
Well, indie design here, it's big in a way that I can't imagine how it's
flourishing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
you know, the especially for us, given what we do, I mean, most of the time we're interacting with designers who are independent, right?
Yeah,
we're not
yeah.
really, we're rarely kind of encountering the people who are working at
yeah.
the kind of big houses.
Cartier and such, yeah.
Doing
yeah, yeah.
all of that.
Hmm.
Those houses, to me, always felt like they really dominate continental Europe still, and perhaps make it difficult to open up space for those independent designers
right.
to try to penetrate the market.
Mm.
I think Americans
that's a good point.
Much more keen on sort of on the new and experimental.
Small
and
business.
Small
yeah.
businesses.
Yeah.
yeah, they're not sort of as committed
not as
to...
beholden to
sort
the
of like
big heritage
brands, houses.
Right?
I
yeah.
just know from like growing up in Germany, coming from Bosnia, I can use like my family as an example. You know, if you're kind of buying a piece of high jewelry or something like that, you're going to think of the big houses first.
Mm, exactly.
You're not going to go out of your way to discover great
new
talent.
No.
And that's a bit of an old-fashioned kind of attitude, too. I think it's more continental in general. Wouldn't you agree?
But you know why also? Because big maisons, they have trust.
They do.
Right?
Yeah.
We
have history.
All know these names.
Yeah.
We know if you go to Cartier, Chaumet, Tiffany. Or
you know what you're
any
getting.
Big brand, exactly.
Yeah.
You know you're paying a lot of money, but it will be quality.
Yes.
So there's guarantee of that.
Mm-hmm.
When you go to a new designer, first of all, you don't know if they're established enough,
mm-hmm.
or what kind of quality they produced.
Yeah.
And also, look, when people start buying jewelry, it's a lot also about status, right? We want
yeah.
to belong to the club.
We want to buy the
so,
brands.
So,
yeah.
yes,
mm-hmm.
exactly. And then once you have it all, you're like, okay, I want something different. I want
Correct.
To stand out. I don't need any
right.
more proof that I'm worth it. You
right.
know,
yeah,
I want
yeah.
to show
right.
my personality.
I own
I have
every
a
Cartier Panther I want.
Exactly.
Something else.
I've
yes.
got this
yeah.
Serpente from Bulgari. Give me something original which no
yeah.
one else has.
Yes.
So
yes.
and
yeah.
that's why
it
then
tends
you go,
to be like the second step for
yeah.
jewelry lovers.
Yep.
Mm. Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
why you then go to Katarina's site
and
discover
new
show
people.
You,
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
who the people
some
are.
New, yeah.
Do you do a lot of that discovery yourself? Do you spend a lot of time just looking? Is that I imagine that's a majority of your job. No?
Yeah, I do a lot of discovering through Instagram,
mm-hmm.
at the exhibitions.
Mm-hmm.
Often people come to me because they know me,
yeah,
or
yeah.
even my
They're
friends.
They're like, look, here's
yeah,
what I made. Yeah.
Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And also, sometimes by accident, you go to your Instagram to explore page, and
mm-hmm.
then you discover someone amazing. Or sometimes through pages of magazines. I appreciate magazines. I love print press, and
yeah.
I hope it will stay there forever.
I
and
me too.
I love
yeah.
print.
There's
love
some
print.
Luxury about
mm-hmm.
it, you
yes.
know. So I do
yeah.
buy magazines, and
I
do discover I
do too.
Also
mm-hmm.
new names through magazines.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
yeah, that's great. That's
what
great.
Magazines are you buying?
Yeah.
What do you like to read? What do you consume?
Look, I frankly, I read mostly books on like self-development or different
oh
things of wisdom. You know, I like learning. I think it's a
I
Russian thing.
It.
Like we
yeah.
always want to learn something new.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I read a lot of literature on obviously social media to,
to help
be
you
in touch
with
trends and what's
yeah.
happening, how to continue thriving on Instagram, right? Because
yeah.
it's
yeah.
such a tool that changes constantly. And
I wanted to ask you about that. Instagram
yeah.
changes constantly,
mm-hmm.
and it is a source of great frustration for
yeah.
so many people.
Yes.
How are you feeling about Instagram right now, and how are you circumventing its strangeness and sort of like
algorithms?
Yeah, and like
and that
all seems
that.
To sort of penalize.
How do you
some
penetrate
yeah.
with the content,
guys? Honestly, sometimes I feel like the only reason why I'm still there is because there's no alternative. Instagram has changed a lot, right? I've been doing this for 10 years.
That's a good point.
I'd say like maybe 4 years ago, I've seen a huge change when Reels have arrived. And started being forefront of
Do you
Instagram.
Do a lot of those? Are you
I
doing
do,
all
yeah,
of that?
Yeah, yeah. Like, you have to do Reels if you want to be relevant. If
Jesus
you want to
Christ.
Grow on Instagram, you have to do Reels.
I've never done one of those fucking things. I don't, know what to, I don't know what to do with that.
I'll show
yeah,
you.
It's,
okay.
Do you know what? It really changed the way Instagram works, because suddenly, instead of creating photo content, which, you know, takes
yeah.
a while, but still manageable, you can do so much in post-production.
Sure.
With Reels, you have to film so much and then edit so much. It's just like creating mini films every time
yeah
and
creating,
it
like
really
especially for you
yeah
where you
yeah.
have a very high bar for quality
exactly.
in your content. It's not like it's sort of like blah, messy whatever
no.
that's not your vibe
yeah
yeah
but that's why I had to invest into hiring more people for editing, for helping me film. Now my company has grown. There's 11 people in my team. Not everyone realizes, but there's
Are you
11
kidding
of us
me?
Oh.
Jesus fucking
Editorial
Christ.
Editorial side,
what is,
yeah, and
amazing.
Social side.
So what do they do? What are the jobs
yeah,
that people
are
covering?
Yeah, go through
the
job titles.
Yeah.
All right. Okay, so on the website part, I have two editors who help me run it. I have a girl who is in charge of creating the layouts for the articles.
Stories. Uh-huh.
I have a social media and partnership manager.
Jesus
I have
Christ.
A PA now. I have a community manager. I have people like accountant and reel maker, you know, who edit reels. There's one girl who specifically does that because
who all she does is edit reels.
Yeah, because
reels
to
all day
edit
long.
One reel, it takes between 40 minutes and 90 minutes to bring it to the high quality where the picture is beautiful,
yes.
sharp, crisp. It's interesting scenario in your reel. There is all the subtitles and everything, so it's a big job.
Oh, that can take like hours to make a really quality
reel.
Yeah.
How many do you produce in a day?
So I post 2 to 3 times a day. That's why I need so many people on
Jesus
the team.
Christ.
And you know what? I'm obsessed with jewelry. There's so much I want to show.
Yeah.
So I can't slow down. It's not just only because, oh, you know, she's an influencer. Of course, she needs to make money. Mm-hmm. No, it's because I see so much beauty. And I'm like, I'm so excited about it all. I'm like, I need to share this. I need to make people excited. I want to see the reaction. I want them to also have the same
feeling
that I do when I see it. So
That
vaguely pornographic
okay, so
sound
I know
Emily
it is.
Makes.
It's yeah, vague. But, but let me ask you, Katerina, like, how do you make money with your venture? Like, is it mainly partnerships and collaborations?
Yeah. How do you pay all these
Yeah,
people?
How do you pay all these
Yeah,
people?
There's, well, frankly, there is several things I do. So the what you see on the surface is basically advertisement, right?
Yeah.
Like companies would go to a magazine and they want to pay for 2 pages advertisement. They come to me and they want to pay for a certain number of posts or an article and they support me, I support them and together we create something beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
But also I do consultancy. So
right.
I come from a background of retail and also I've been selling and managing companies for a long time and nowadays, I consult on communications and branding and social media, of course,
mm-hmm.
because this
mm-hmm.
is something which I've mastered over the period of time, well, 10 years.
Yeah.
And I understand.
So you help
jewelry.
People with their social media accounts?
So I consult them, help them build strategy, what to do on social media. I review their accounts. I point out all the strong points and weak points, what they can change to make the account more successful.
Everybody hire Katerina Perez
as
a consultant for social media.
Well, guys,
I can't imagine
a
more qualified person.
Do.
You know what?
Yeah.
You're laughing, but there is so few people who actually understand
who
how
actually
to
understand
make
it.
Sales on Instagram.
No, I believe
no,
you.
I don't.
Like, I don't know what the fuck I'm doing on there.
Right?
I just post like the occasional photo I took recently, and that's it. And I can't be bothered. It's so overwhelming.
Yeah,
I really can't be bothered to like dig into it in my own time.
And I've been seeing people ditching it. Like, there have been Manor Jewels for one was like, you know what? They don't want me to succeed. I am moving to my other platform.
Yeah, people get frustrated.
And
like
I'm
that
kind
too.
Of done.
Sure.
Like, I will still post things here, whatever, but this is not my main channel anymore.
You know, during COVID, I ran a course, so I created the course, How to Sell Jewelry on Instagram, which
was digital?
Very successful. Yeah, it's
do you still do
great.
It?
No, I finished it now because now I back out of COVID travel too much. I can't dedicate enough time to it, but
that
I had
sense.
A few groups of people who joined and they loved it. But the only thing is they realize that actually it's a huge job. Okay. Running social media and running an Instagram channel, it's a full-time job. And they probably thought they'll come to this course, right? They
learn
tips and tricks
quickly.
Some
magic bullet. And
And that didn't happen. And so many people got frustrated that actually we have to invest so much of time, effort, and money as well into creating quality content, into working daily on to creating this community and to making it grow, communicating with all these people to facilitate sales and how do we even grow these numbers and how do we make more sales and so on, that I know for the fact that many people learned everything, but they didn't put it into practice because it's...
They don't have the time.
It's a lot to do. So unfortunately, it's a big job for everyone to run their Instagram successfully. But if you do it well, and if you put your heart and soul in it, and I want to emphasize, if you stop looking at it as a selling tool, but look at it as a way of communicating to people and showcasing your philosophy of what you're about, showcasing your differences, how a certain jewelry brand is different from others. And if you do it with a certain amount of emotions injected into online, people can feel that. You know, why do I have such a huge following? Because people feel my passion. Like now we're just talking and you can feel how I'm vibing out of
I can feel your passion. I can feel your passion.
Yeah.
I think my neighbor across the street can feel your passion at this point.
Yay. This quadrant of Manhattan can feel your passion.
Yeah, I think everybody
and
on this block can
feel
it.
And it's absolutely true. There is a certain jewelry influencer who's somewhat new to the game. I will not mention who this
Let's name names.
No
talk
way.
Shit. Let's talk shit.
No way. It is. I will so say noted. That it is a he, though, and mm-hmm. he has a lot of access, mm-hmm. and uh-huh. he posts a lot, but yeah. I know in my heart that he does not care.
Mm-hmm. Really?
That he just kind of has this access.
Uh-huh.
And posts and has a decent, you know, has a decent following because of his access. Mm-hmm, but mm-hmm, I'm like, mm-hmm. where is the passion? Where is the authenticity? It just feels so hollow. And I think that you feel that on your site. I know you feel that on your site yeah. and on your Instagram. You feel that you are so engaged
yep.
and you're so jazzed about mm-hmm. what you're doing. And it
she's practically climaxing yes. in the show right now. And I mean, I'm going to have to wipe it down with napkins when she leaves.
And I mean, it engenders trust, right? In the length of time you've been doing it. And then yeah. also just sort of like how clearly passionate you are about it engenders trust, it engenders sort of like validity to everything mm. that you do. And also person to person, you're such a lovely person too. So you get, you kind of like add that in and you're like, here's my influence, our choice. Yeah.
Your image is so pristine and so controlled, you know, at least from all the stuff that I see, you're so kind of like sharp and buttoned
up.
It's a Russian thing. Russian
yeah.
lady.
Russian lady. Like, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Russian
you know? Lady. Keep
but
it
then
up.
When you,
I
when
love
me,
it.
Meeting you in person, you are like so warm and so bubbly and so kind of, yeah. you know, you spill over.
You know
and that's honestly, that really surprised me because I was expecting somebody to walk in who was very
buttoned up.
Tight and... You know, yeah. controlled.
Have you heard you that know? Before?
Yes.
Many times. You know what? And I don't know how to change it because the Russian in me tells me you have to look
you
certain
have to do
way.
This, you have to, yeah.
But when people meet me in person, like, we did not expect that.
Yeah.
We thought you'll be yeah. this snobbish woman, you know, who is like here to show this beauty, but in your own snobbish way. And mm-hmm. you're so nice and kind and approachable and cute.
Yeah.
And especially if you hang out with me and go to techno party with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, that's right.
You'll
that's
see
right.
a different
I'm
kind
taking
of
you to the club, girl.
Yeah.
Next time you're in New York,
but
I'm taking
look,
you out.
It's all about emotions and relationships and spreading this love and beauty. And you can't do that if you just want to show a pretty picture.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
at the same time, because I'm showcasing important jewelry, right? And I appreciate
it. You want to treat it with that
exactly.
kind of respect.
I cannot show a piece of jewelry which took months and years to create
yeah.
In a quick video with chip nails or whatever, not iron clothes. And now, frankly, I got influenced a lot by reels because now I feel that I have to dress in a certain way.
I
because
see.
Since you can show more of you, it's not just a picture where you show your neck mm-hmm. or ears. Mm-hmm. You show the whole look in a reel often.
Yeah.
You have to dress the way that this potential woman who wants to buy this piece of jewelry would
yeah,
dress.
Yeah, you're trying to communicate mm-hmm. to the right
exactly.
demographic.
Exactly.
I understand
exactly.
that
or
completely.
A certain image,
yeah.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't want to wear like a H&M t-shirt and wear a million-dollar yeah. diamond
well,
necklace.
Then
you
made a big mistake mm-hmm. coming onto this mm-hmm. fucking show. I'll tell you that much. This is your career mishap right
oh
here.
My God.
Oh, you are the highest of high that's been on this
yeah.
show.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Low.
This low rent ass fucking production here, where half the time we're just making dick jokes, you know, for like 2 hours on
we.
End.
And
we.
Do you know what? I love it because we have to. Okay, I can be all this nicely dressed and all, but I'm very down to earth person. And
no,
I'm
you're lovely.
I love
you're
to
lovely.
Be grounded.
Yeah. Yes.
So thank you for having me.
I know. I love it. I'm having a great time having you here because, like I said, I expected somebody who was going to be like extremely
a little
polished,
bit more like, yeah,
and
yeah.
really reserved.
Yeah.
And then whenever we have somebody who is very reserved on the show, you know, we're always having to like, we got to work to pull something out of you.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I was like prepared for that. I was like, okay, this is what we're going to do. And these are my tricks, you know, for how I get somebody to loosen up. And
yes.
then I didn't have to do any of that.
You didn't have to do any of it. You're
yeah.
loose, lady.
Yeah.
You start talking about jewelry, I'm in.
Yeah.
I can't
like,
help
I
it.
I'm going to call this episode The Loose Woman. That's right.
Okay.
Yeah. She's okay.
Jesus, that's great.
Easy.
Yeah. I love it.
I love it. So you have written a lot about how you built your social media, just to kind of linger on the
yeah.
social media.
And
for
I'm
a
sure
yeah.
this is something people ask you about constantly too,
yes.
right?
And you've said that it's quality over quantity. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of part of what everyone was wrapped up in for a while was quantity.
Well,
right? Everybody was like,
tells
post
you,
a thousand
volume,
times
volume,
a day.
Volume. They
but
all tell
that's
you that.
That's not it anymore.
It also comes to the number of followers, right? Because the reason why I'm saying that, because for me, it was never important to have a million followers, 2 million mm-hmm. followers. I don't care. Like, mm-hmm. I understand that people think that for an influencer is the most important thing
yeah.
because obviously it reflects into my income as well. The more followers I have, the,
sure.
the more,
yeah.
more
exposure
supposed
they
to charge.
Get. Yeah.
But for me, it works the other way around. First, it's about passion. First, it's about having the quality audience who... sees what I'm doing, who appreciates it, who wants to treat themselves to this beautiful jewelry. And for me, it was always important to build this solid following,
yes,
right? People who actually appreciate and they leave comments, they want to have a conversation with me about jewelry, not just to put like on it. You know, I encourage people to talk. That's why I'm the only crazy influencer who actually replies to all the comments. And I can't help
by
it.
By the way, she does do that because I've seen her do that.
I love that.
Look, I feel like it's my party. People come to my party. They want to interact with me. Yeah. I can't ignore them. I have to show
them. Well, you know what? That's probably why you have fucking comments under a
but
thing.
I mean, that's why she has a half a million followers.
Yeah, I guess so.
You know what I mean? They're getting the personal attention from you too.
And
you know,
I'll tell you in on one secret. So what I love doing as well, so sometimes I like to look through who started following me, mm-hmm, and I like to send them a message to welcome them to my community, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and often people think, oh, it's some bot, you know, they don't reply, and then I tell them, look, it's genuine, I want to know how you fell in love with jewelry. And then people are like, really? Wow, we've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. Because they wouldn't expect me, person with 400,000 followers, to invest my time and ask them a question or even acknowledge that they started following me. But for
Can
me,
I just say, I only have 4,000 followers and my Instagram literally says, do not DM me. I literally say, I don't want to fucking hear from you.
I want to know these stories because actually I asked them, how did you fall in love with jewelry? And they reply. And then I read all these wonderful stories. I'm going to start sharing them soon also in my Instagram stories for people to read.
Yeah, because you're not doing enough.
I have a team of 11
there
people.
There you go.
So I can do those things. Mm-hmm. So it's always the purpose. You know, I have this big team to help me bring my vision to fruition.
To life,
And this is part of my vision. You know, I want to have this tight community of jewelry lovers, and you can always do it through give and take, you know, through showing them respect and through appreciating them and through encouraging them to also be active on your social, you know.
Can I just tell you, so many times people talk about their social media strategies, about what they do, about, you know, they're giving sort of their insights, the tips, that sort of thing. Half the time I hear it, I just think this is just such a load of bullshit and garbage. I believe every word you're telling me right now.
I genuinely
believe that you do those things, that
That's
you care
asking,
about
like,
those things.
Weird
like,
Instagram
no,
business
seriously.
From heart and soul, that's why.
Yeah, I believe it 1,000%. Huh.
Yeah.
Full on.
As do I. As
but
do I.
Still, please don't DM me.
Yeah, but don't DM
me ever.
Ever.
And guys, come to me, talk to me about jewelry on Instagram.
Talk to her.
I wondered about you in your early days. Mm-hmm. Did you feel that there were gatekeepers that you had to kind of get through? Because I know that you were editing a magazine, so you sort of had that the entree there through mm-hmm. that as being sort of like a proper editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But
and that gives you some level of legitimacy too from the beginning.
That's true.
Yeah.
But you were saying that some people sort of had a hard time wrapping their mind around like it's just a site. It's a site that I edit that is actually a real thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I think about the corollary of fashion where it was like Brian Boy and Susie Bubble other bloggers who were kind of knocking on the door of fashion, and they were kind of like,
rejected.
You know, the Vogue editors were like, why are they front row and whatever. Was there anything like that in the early days for you, or was it a lot more open arms than it was for the fashion folks?
I think that's being one of the first had this aspect, but not for long, because since I was always focused on quality, I managed to prove from the beginning that my work is worth something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's not just like casual writing. I was always focused on the language, you know, that I write appropriately, that I use the right terms, but at the same time I always wanted to write in a more casual way, so it doesn't come across as this educational website where you go and feel bored with all these terms. And I think thanks to quality that I provided, and I was always obsessed with quality, people took me seriously from the start.
That's great.
And even, frankly, I had respect even from editors who write for magazines or who get invited to all these big shows. And when I'm there, I never felt like they were like, oh, who is this? Why is
she
there?
That's great.
I was spared of that. And I'm really grateful to all the industry and all the writers out there who actually value my work, and they see me as a
which is everybody
as equal.
That's fantastic
okay.
Yeah,
I wonder
that.
That's fantastic. Also, like that you're digging into this, like the process of some of these brands, they must be thrilled to talk about this kind of thing, because I don't imagine they're asked that much about this strange, you know, method of stone setting or, you know what I mean? Like how many like truly interested and educated people in jewelry are there out there to ask those sort of nitty gritty, interesting fabrication questions? You know what?
Yeah. Numerous times I heard from brands like, we love your questions because you ask us different things.
That's what I would think.
And
yeah.
This knowledge, the deep knowledge of, you know, I'm a gemologist by education. I've graduated from a gemology institution in Great Britain. I've been in retail for so long. So my knowledge is very 360 degrees.
Yes.
And that's what makes me think differently and allows me to ask those tricky questions and make them
cutting straight through the surface questions and going straight to the gems and all that.
But that's also what validates my point of view. So on my website, I don't like to rewrite a press release. I want to write about a new collection, a piece of jewelry, a person I've met through my point of view, because I know I have enough knowledge to actually educate through this casual writing, but also share some valuable knowledge which you might not necessarily learn anywhere else. Right. And this is why I take pride in what I've created, because when you come to KaterinaPerez.com, you know you've learned something where you
can't find the information anywhere else.
Exactly, you won't find anywhere else. And this is what I tell to my team. This is my vision, and we have to continue that vision. So whenever you have a piece of article to write for me, because I don't write everything you see on the website. When you go to the end of the article, you'll see who has written it. I say you must absolutely get quotes, get some original content, something which we can bring to the table that others don't.
And going this extra mile, it's
a huge extra job for us. But I think when you create something of quality, you have to do that. Otherwise, what am I here for? You know, to be another one who writes a press release.
What's the point?
Yeah. You know?
Where you see the same turn of phrase in five different publications.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to be the window into behind the scenes, because as you said, brands, designers, they feel comfortable sharing their ideas or their behind the scenes with them, because we both connect through this passion. And they genuinely, you feel my energy now.
Yes, yes.
They also feel like I don't come there to investigate. I come there with the genuine interest. Like, how do you set this stone?
Exactly.
How did you achieve this design? What are the challenges you faced?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I know it takes months and months to, I don't know, set all these pavés. And like, how did you even do it? See?
It's so exciting.
No, that is great. Can I ask you a business question?
Yeah.
You don't have to give us numbers.
Yes.
You're able to do this full time.
Of course, yeah.
So it's a successful enough business. You're able to like make a proper job of it, all of that good stuff. If I'm wondering kind of how you structure these things, because one thing I'm always confused by is like literally how any influencer actually makes money. So let's say I call you up.
Mm-hmm.
I have a gorgeous photo of me with my legs behind my head. And I say to you, Katerina, stop it. You want it. Everybody wants this. Everybody wants this.
Everybody wants this.
Everyone wants to see that. So I send that to you.
Yeah.
Before you send me a cease and desist, I ask you, how much does it cost for you to post this on your Instagram, right?
Yeah.
Is that how that works? Or how do you operate?
Yeah. So I say there is bespoke jewelers. I'm like a bespoke influencer. Okay. Normally I get asked for a media kit. I don't work with a media kit.
Okay.
For me, it's important to get the best result for the company who wants to advertise through me. So for me, it's essential to speak with them first to understand their goals.
Mm-hmm.
When I know what they're trying to achieve, and frankly, sometimes I don't even know. They just want to work with me.
Uh-huh.
And I'm the one who gives them ideas, what I can help them to achieve.
And then they're like,
oh, okay, yeah, we want this. And once we've talked and I understand what they want to achieve, I can propose to them different scenarios.
And you kind of structure it based on their specific needs.
Exactly.
And wants. Mm-hmm. So what would you say to me when I send you that photo?
I'll say to you, does it fit to my taste?
Everything has to be according to the police.
Yeah.
What if I'm wearing a diamond necklace in that photo?
Well, that's a possibility.
See,
does
there
it,
you go.
Does this
now
diamond
we can
necklace
talk.
Resonate with me
there
or
go.
Not? And
there
then,
you go.
Yeah. But,
See,
you know.
I won her over in the end.
Look, you're laughing, but I'm probably the only influencer who actually is not scared to play with expensive jewelry and to create editorial shoots where I show jewelry in a more unconventional way.
Right.
And you see sometimes some...
Oh, you've done
unbelievable photo projects with me. And because I think jewelry has to be... Not fun, but it has to be explored in so many different ways and showcased in so many different ways.
Mm-hmm.
It's not just something stuffy that you wear for a gala dinner. So that's why I feel if I add this element of artistry, I also embrace, for example, artificial intelligence and what it can do with jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
I share sometimes works of AI artists. I'm not proficient in that. That's why I share work of others to showcase that, look, jewelry can be shown in this way as well. And it takes so much interest from my audience. So I see that lots of people are open to new ideas about mm-hmm. jewelry. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, if a brand wants to work with me, normally, first of all, I need to see what jewelry they create to make sure it resonates with my taste. Mm-hmm. Because I actually built everything on my taste. Mm-hmm. I would never post something which I don't enjoy genuinely. Yes. So it has to be something I like. And if I like it, then I'll be able to share it with my audience. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and after talking to the company, I can say to them, this is what I can do, choose. And normally I send different proposals because I appreciate, you know, there is different goals, there is different budgets. So I want to accommodate different people out there. It's not just about being rigid and I have these prices and you pay me. It's not a, my business is not a transaction. Mm-hmm. It's a relationship. And that's why I have so many companies who work with me on a regular basis or throughout the years. Sometimes they come and go, but they always return. And that what actually gives me great pleasure to feel that what I'm doing here is something that people appreciate, and my audience appreciates, and companies who work with me, they appreciate it equally. So,
So you're saying there's a chance. So you're saying I can send you that photo?
Oh yeah, with diamond necklace though.
With the diamond necklace, yeah.
Big ass diamond necklace,
huge.
Huge. With many carats.
Yes, yes. It'll be massive.
Guys, watch out on my Instagram. You might see it one day.
What do you like to do? Oh my God, yeah. Andrew's gonna be editing this. Like, what?
I know Andrew's gonna say, "What the fuck did you say to that woman?" Jesus Christ!
As soon as we make people laugh, I'm okay with that.
Yes.
Exactly. What do you like to do in your spare time? What do you do? And it doesn't sound like you have any. But what do you like
don't
to do when you're like,
jewelry.
No, listen, okay. Yes, so
not jewelry.
No. So life has to be balanced, and I've learned it hard way, unfortunately, through times when I almost had I did have a burnout once, but I've learned through my mistake. Mm-hmm. So nowadays, I focus a lot on how can I sustain this business and how can I make sure I'm let's call it a full vessel, full of good energy, good vibes, love, because I have to project this to my audience and to the world.
Full vessel. Yeah.
Exactly. So that's why I think a lot about like how can I keep myself happy, right? So I do things like sport. I don't know. It's it's something that makes me really happy. I go to obviously my beauty salon. That's something that makes me happy.
Yes. Gotta get those
exactly. Massage and facial and all this. Mm-hmm. But what makes me really happy is traveling and discovering new cultures and new people. Mm-hmm. So I believe I'm a citizen of the world, and that enriches my vision and my view on.
I love that
everything around me. It helps me to kind of grow as a person, but also be super tolerant to the world out there.
Yes.
And also learn how to think differently. Mm-hmm. Because frankly, since I met people from so many different backgrounds and I've learned about so many different countries, it helps me to think outside the box and helps me to always be full of new ideas and have my mind open and have a little bit of this kid's mind.
Yeah,
you know, you
have to
keep this inner child to be a little bit naive and have your eyes open and not take everything seriously.
I agree. Mm,
and that
I
really
agree.
Helps to keep this happiness. And
I believe very much in you take your work seriously, you never take yourself seriously.
Mm. Right.
And
right.
I think that as a quality is exactly how things should be.
And obviously shopping.
Shopping.
Right?
Yes.
You have to keep yourself
well stocked.
With a new bag, with have a new to keep, pair of shoes and so on. And also it's a part of my job. Looking certain way is a part of the job.
Well, it's what you have to put out there into the world. Exactly. I love what you said about being a citizen of the world. The first time I went back to my home country after we left during the war, it was in 2012, I believe. I was the first person in my family to go back to Bosnia after we left during the war. And one thing I love about what you had just said about being a citizen of the world and how that opens your perspective and sort of makes you... kind of fills you and makes you kind of more three-dimensional and whole as a person. I remember when I was in Sarajevo, I saw a statue in one of the city's main squares, and there was a plaque underneath it that read, a Bosnian citizen is a citizen of the world. And I love that sentiment so much because it's a very kind of anti-nationalist sentiment. Mm-hmm. And especially given our history and everything that happened in the early 90s, that's something that kind of has become just a part of our culture and kind of mode of thinking.
Yep.
So I love that you kind of approach life and the world from that perspective, because I hate nothing more than when people kind of cloister themselves into their own bubbles and kind of corners of the world. Mm-hmm. I think it's so important to remain
open.
Even in the jewelry space where, you know, this is a very niche specific space that we all kind of exist in. I always tell the designers that I work with too, like, you have to kind of enrich your life with multitudes. You have to, as a person, contain multitudes in order to be a great designer. Mm-hmm. You and anybody who produces anything, the content that you produce for me, for my work, for you as a writer, you have to be a fully fleshed out human being, which means you have to have many, many interests and experiences well beyond just this thing that we are constantly in. You know what I mean?
You know what? You just asked me about what I do with the free time, and I said what? Beauty, massage, sports, and
shopping.
I just shopping, and I just felt so shallow. Like,
no,
but
not
actually,
at all.
I have no time for anything else.
That's what I'm going to say.
You're an entrepreneur.
Yeah. It's not like you're clocking into somebody's business. It's your business.
It's your business. Yeah.
Yeah. And motherhood takes a lot
and
of your
time.
And
then your mom. Yes. Oh, motherhood takes up so much of your time.
Yeah,
I actually don't have time for anything else. No. Apart from like basic of self-care.
You do enough. You quoted
Dostoevsky earlier, so we're good.
Yeah, you got it. We know.
We run a big business, so
you run a big
Exactly. I know what that's like. We all know what that's like. Yeah, well, Katarina Perez, thank you so much for being with us today.
Oh, we had so much fun.
We had so much fun.
I hope you enjoyed
yourself.
This has been brilliant. I'm Alan Simic.
I'm Emily Vesselin.
And this has been Rough Cut. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys. It was a great pleasure.
Bye-bye.
Bye.